and go to Luke 19 now, and also you can turn to Mark chapter 10. This story is told in three of the Gospels, but one verse, and this is one way, one of many ways we know this is God's Word, is that one verse, one line, contains so much glory, so much truth, so much wonder, so many amazing things concerning our Lord and the gospel. But look at verse 28. It says, when he had thus spoken, he went before them, ascending up to Jerusalem. Go to Mark chapter 10 with me. I want you to see this, what Mark says about that. Mark chapter 10. What a word this is. My. What a verse. Mark 10, verse 32. You have it? Look at this. They were in the way going up to Jerusalem. And so are we. We're his disciples. And he went before them. Oh, my. Our Lord went before them everywhere. He faced and he went before us. He faced Satan, didn't he? And his temptations. He went to the cross. He went before them in the Garden of Gethsemane, didn't he? If you seek me, let them go. He went before us to the cross, went before his disciples to the cross, didn't he? He went before us to the tomb, before his disciples into the tomb, went into the grave. He went before, he's the forerunner, Brother John. He went into the veil, didn't he? The debate. Oh, he went before them. And verse 32 says, and they were amazed. Can you see these disciples following him? And they were amazed. I stand amazed. Don't you? In the presence of Jesus of Nazareth. And they follow. That's what sheep do. They just follow. And they were afraid. Amazed, following, and afraid. Fear of the Lord. And he took them, the 12, and began to tell them what things should happen unto them. He'd been telling them all along, and he told them again what he had come to do, what he was going to accomplish, how he was going to rise from the grave. What a verse that is. Now go back to the text. What a verse. And I preached on that by itself. I just did. Our Lord, from the cradle, now he went up, he was going up to Jerusalem. From the cradle, he was going to the cross, wasn't it? From the womb, he was ascending to Calvary's cross, where he would be lifted up. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men, my people, unto myself. Give it to me of the Father. Where he'd be crucified, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, to all who were bitten by sin, said, look to him, dying sinners, look to him. And be and live and be saved. And then he ascended, but first descended. What is it that he that ascended is first he that descended? He descended into the grave where he took our sins and separated them from as far as the east is from the west. The fit man took it out in the wilderness, deposited the scapegoat. And then he ascended. He came out of the grave, he came up. Revealed himself to us, and then one day the disciples were standing on a hillside. He was talking to them, and they saw him go higher, much higher. A cloud received him out of their sight. Where did he ascend? The heaven, the second heaven, the third heaven, all the way to the right hand of the Majesty on high. And that's where he sits right now, reigning and ruling over all. Yes, he went up. From the cross he went higher and higher till God gave him a name which is above every name. All right, here's the story. The Lord and Master, one who calls, subdues, and saves his people, all of which are like this wild ass's colt. You read it with me, okay? Verse 29, it came to pass when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, and everything significant, it's a house of dates, a house of figs, fruit. We'll not go into that. The Mount of Olives, our Lord is that olive tree. These two men are representative of the two olive tree. But he sent two of his disciples into a village, a little place, not Jerusalem, a little village. Two preachers, these disciples were preachers. That's what the Lord called them to do, didn't he? Go into all the world and preach. That's what these disciples were chosen to do, to preach. Our Lord had chosen them. He had called them. He equipped them. He sent them to preach. Preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, how shall they believe on him whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? The Lord sent these two men to preach. This is the means that God uses. And we keep pounding this nail, don't we? We keep emphasizing this, don't we? Because it's under attack today. There are even some professing believers that are trying to hold on to an old profession. And if you haven't heard the truth, you haven't heard the gospel. You haven't believed. You haven't confessed the true Christ. So, and it says in 1 Corinthians 1:21, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. This cult would not have come had the Lord not sent these two men to loose him. Right? He would not have come unless Christ had sent them to loose him. Now, did they loose him? No, the Lord sent word. All they said was, "Thus saith the Lord." Now, I'm getting way ahead of myself. But the point is, the Lord sent two preachers then and now. Then and now. And brothers and sisters, those of you who have been loosed, whom you've heard the gospel, does not the gospel still loose you, free you, set you free, and bring you to Him? Does it not keep you coming and looking to Christ? If you weren't here, you wouldn't. You just wouldn't. Even me, I need this. I'm the preacher, but I still need it. All right, the gospel finds those to whom he sends. Look at verse 30. Go into the village over against you, in the which at your entering you shall find. Go, you shall find. A colt tied, you shall find. Now, why was this colt there? The Lord put him there. And so, the Lord sent. Now, this is going to fulfill God's word. We just read it. It has to happen. God's word is true. Not one word, not jot or tittle, is going to fail. Everything he says is going to come true. All right? The Lord put this colt there. The master, whoever owned it, decided, "I'll go outside and tie this colt up and then I'll go in and have some." No, the Lord told him to do that. All right? The gospel finds God's people wherever he puts them. Now, people argue all the time that if only the elect are saved, why not just preach to the elect? They said that, and you know, only the elect will be saved. That's right. God's sheep, Christ's sheep, will hear my voice. Christ said that. My sheep hear my voice. And he said to some Pharisees, "You believe not because you're not my sheep. If you were, you'd hear my voice." But he that is of God heareth God's word. Well, that's true, the elect. But God has chosen this me. And they say, why preach if only the elect be saved? They said that to Spurgeon one time. He was a clever man. They said, "Why don't you just preach to the elect?" He said, "I would if they had an E on them. If I could see an E on them, I'd tell everybody else, leave." But they don't. I can't see it. They do. They do. God sees it. They have blood on them. Like Rahab in her house, How did those men know who to go in and get? There's a scarlet line in the window. It's the same with every one of God's people, the elect. But we preach because Christ said to. And because Christ said, my sheep are going to hear my voice. One time Paul was wanting to, he went to Corinth, that is a city just given to idolatry. And he wanted to leave. And everybody disputed with him. They didn't want. He was going to leave, wasn't he? You remember that? And the Lord came to him at night and said, no, I have much people in this city. You stay there. I have people here. They're going to hear you. So he stayed there 18 months, wasn't it? Oh, and Corinth was a huge church. But this is proof of his power, proof of his call. And they must hear the gospel because isn't it so with you? He said, in whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. You didn't know him, you didn't believe him, you didn't trust him until you heard the word. So he said, you shall find. The gospel finds us, finds his people where he puts them. Up a tree. Zacchaeus was up a tree. Lord planted a tree. Lord put him in it. The Lord dug that well and he came and was waiting on a woman. She's coming. She's coming. So, yep, you shall find. You shall find. Lost and found. What did he find? A wild ass's colt. He said, I'm come to seek and save the lost. Tame the wild. You shall find. Verse 30, here's what he found. When he came, entering in, he'll find a colt tied whereon yet never man sat. Nobody has ever been on this colt, this ass. Nobody's ever sat on him. He won't submit to being ridden by anybody. He bucks, he kicks against every prick. And they got him tied down. They've got him hobbled. They've got him down. He's tied up. Here's what you do. You go in there and you loose him. You turn him loose and you bring him to me. Oh, brothers and sisters. My. In Mark's gospel, here's what it says about that colt. It said he was the foal of an ass. In other words, his mother, the mare, was an ass. I know what we say about our mothers. But this is what the scripture says. She's just as lost as the colt until the Lord's tamed her. Every human being is like this. And in Isaiah 1, do you remember what the Lord said about his people? His people. He said, the whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the feet to the top of the head, no soundness in them. He said, the ox knows its owner, and the ass knows his master's crib. But my people don't give me a thought. They're worse than an ass. Wilder than a Red River snake. Kick. Buck. Like a goat. But, that's how you'll find them. Wild, unbroken. Now, this is a colt. What's a colt? It's an ungelded male. It's a donkey. What is it? Donkey. What good is a donkey? I know you animal lovers think, oh, it's a sweet little lamb. No, it's not. Brothers and sisters, animal lovers, human lovers, men lovers, lovers of, there is no good such thing as a good anything until God makes it good. The only good donkey, only good ass, only good horse or mule or dog for that matter, or human for that matter, is one that is broken. Subdued. Brother Kelly hears this all the time. Well, she's a good horse. Oh, you're right. She'll kick your brains out. Well, she's a good dog. Oh, really? She loves me so much. Then open up and let her go. See what she does. Is she going to come to you? Is she going to stay home? Is she going to run off? by nature. Isn't that right? Doesn't want to be subdued. Doesn't want anybody to reign over them. That's human beings. It's all of us. An ungelded male is a wild, an unbroken animal will hurt you, will kill you, and will end up killing itself every time. A halter, a yoke is a good thing. Restraint is a wonderful thing. If you ever find out the propensity inside of you to be a wild, still be a wild ass's colt, you'll be thankful for the restraining grace of God. You say, put that yoke on me and don't shorten my leash. I mean, don't let out the leash. Don't give me the reins. Don't do it. Put a bit in my mouth and don't let go. A rope around my neck, right? Prone to wander, Lord, don't let me go. Wow, that's his coat. Oh, man will not submit to God to being ruled, will not be ridden or reigned over. Man, human beings, young people live for sin, live for themselves, and in the end are fit to be destroyed. That's right. But God says, go into that village and you'll find one of these. How many colts? How many wild colts were there? How many? How many asses? Huh? How many? Everywhere. He said, go in there, you'll find one I've chosen. And you loose him and bring him to me. Mark's gospel said he was by the door where two ways met. He's tied up by the door. He's not inside. He's by the door. He won't go in it. You let him go, he's going to run. He's where two ways meet. He's by the door. He's not in it. He's like Bartimaeus. He's by the wayside. He's not in it. He's by the door. He's where two ways meet. And there is a way that seems right to man. The end is what? Death, destruction. If he lets us go our way, it'll be destruction every time. But the Lord sent these two men with the truth, with the gospel, to this tied up, this bound, wild ass's colt. He said, you bring them the way. You bring them to me. Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So they went and they found him. Oh, may Christ put our lost loved ones in the way. He's tied up. Somebody owns him. An animal that's tied up is owned by someone, right? And he's bound, isn't he? He's bound up. He wants to be loose, but he's bound by this owner. Who owns? Who are all men under until the Lord loosens them? The law. The law. Under the law. Christ came to loose us. Satan, whom the God of this world, Paul wrote to Timothy, holds captive at his will. He said, go preach peradventure. And recover themselves. They're bound. They'll hear, they'll believe, they'll come by the grace and mercy of God. Young people and old people alike are bound by sin, by self, by nature, by the world, by the dictates of this world, by the God of this world, and following. They're following everything the God of this world and their own hearts make them do, thinking they're free. Look around you, young people. Look around you. Why are people mutilating their bodies like this? Why are people doing what they're doing? To show their expression of individuality? It's because everybody else is doing it. free. I remember in the 60s, 70s, you know, I'm free. It was free, free. There's nobody more bound by what everybody else is doing and saying. And the God of this world is laughing, scoffing, mocking. Free? You're doing what I tell you to do. You're doing what everybody else tells you to do. And when the Lord sends the truth, He makes you free. It's the only thing that will free us. Only one free. No one is free. They're following everybody else until the Lord, until they begin to follow Christ. Brother Barnard's the one that said, the only free man is the Lord's servant. Then he's free from the law, free from sin, shall not have dominion over, free from the world. He's not going to listen to the world. He's listening to Christ. Oh, that is where it's good to bear the yoke. This is the yoke you want. And you know, He makes you willing, He'll let the leash out. Still has the leash. Still has the lead rope. But He can let it out. You know what you'll do? And if He opens the door, you know what you'll do? You'll come back. You'll come when He calls you. His people come when they come. Loose Him. He sends these two men to loose. Two men, law and the prophets. Witness of Christ. The apostles and the evangelists. Okay? Pastors and teachers. You know what I'm sent to do? Loose you. Point you to Christ. Not bind heavy burdens upon you, but to send you to Christ who will lift it. Make you look to Christ. Try to make you look to Christ. Who frees us from the law. Free from the law. Don't you love that? Would you sing that every time? Oh, happy condition, the Lord Jesus has died and there is remission. Cursed by the law, bruised by the fall. Free, once for all. Christ hath redeemed us, once for all. Our Lord said, bring him to me. Bring him to me. Now, can't you hear their argument? Lord, they say he's wild. Nobody's ever been on him. He won't submit to being ridden by anybody. He will. He will. Because this is the Lord and Master of His people. You remember what He said to His disciples? You call me Lord and Master, and you say, well, that so I am. Aren't you glad, John? Aren't you thankful He's Lord, not a figurehead? Really Lord, reigning and ruling. What He sovereignly wills happens. Aren't you glad? Aren't you thankful? Say unto my people, the Lord reigneth. He is God. Our God is God. To Him belongs salvation. Aren't you glad, Kelly Pendry? Aren't you glad that He's God? Whew, if He's our God and we're His people. It's all good, buddy. It's all true. And all we have to say is, Amen. Lord and Master. He's Lord and Master. Look at verse 31. I love it. It says, you'll find a colt tied whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him here. Verse 31. And if any ask you, why do you loose him? Why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. That's all you say. That's all you do. You go tell them what I told you. That's it. The Lord hath need of it. Now listen. You think the Lord needed this coat? Come on. He could have chosen anything. Does He need this little coat? He could walk in it. He could hire the finest chariot or whatever, couldn't he? The disciples would have carried him. He didn't need this coat. God doesn't need anybody. That's what false religion tells the converts to get them to come. No, the Lord needs you. Needs you, needs your money. Our Lord over and over said, I don't need you. You don't have any money. It's all mine. He said, see, if I were hungry, I wouldn't ask you. Cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. Now, what's this saying? Well, The Scripture must be fulfilled. The Scripture that you read in Zechariah 9, verse 9, was written saying He's coming on a colt, the foal of an ass. He's going to come riding in with salvation into Jerusalem. He's going to come. That's what the Scriptures prophesied. It must needs be. He must fulfill every jot and tittle of the law of the Scripture. He must. He needs to come into town on this colt. Why? To prove who He is. To prove the Word. To prove His power. For His glory. To the praise of the glory of His sovereign Word and power. He said, go into that town. This is what I decree. This is what was decreed of me long before. Go into that village and say, thus saith the Lord. And loose him and bring him to me. And if they ask you, what are you doing? He said, the Lord said. And He will come. They will let Him go. Why? His glory is at stake. His power is at stake. His Word is at stake. His promises are at stake. His love is at stake. His covenant is at stake. If one thing fails from anything He said, He's not the Christ. He needs this coat. Not that... You understand what I'm trying to say? When religion everywhere is saying God loves everybody and some people are damned, then what good is His love? Huh? No. This is to the praise of the glory. When this is all over, everybody's praising Him. And He said, this is what you're going to find. You go, you say, you'll find, and He'll come. He will come. And He did. They did. To the praise of His power, of His Word, of His sovereign call. Go loose. The gospel is by command. The gospel is not an invitation. I hate that word. The gospel is a command. David didn't send those two men. Once again, two men sent down there to fetch a lame man. You can't get a lame man to come. What if they said he won't come? I didn't tell you to ask him. The Lord didn't say tell these fellows, go in there and ask the colt if he'll come. He's not going to come if you ask him. The owner's not going to come loose him if he asks him. The mother's not going to let him go. But if Christ gives the word, he'll come. Every one of them. Why I preach? Because it's the power of God. And when the day God's pleased and the fullness of time, God will send forth that word in power and that wild ass's coat will come. You can count on it. His glory is at stake. It needs to happen because His glory is at stake. So, look at this. They came in and they found, even as they were sent to do, they found even as it was said, and they were starting to loose the colt, and the owners thereof said, I mean, why are you loosing that colt? You can't do that. Stop loosing it. And they said, thus saith the Lord. And you know, the law, our Lord faced the law, Brother John, didn't he? And what's the law of schoolmaster today? Bring us to Christ. When Christ faced the law, like Boaz faced that kinsman near him, he took his shoe off and said, she's yours. And Christ faced the law, and the law says, take him. He's yours. You must fulfill it for him. He did. And, loose him. Free from the law. And Satan's not going to give up easily, is he? But buddy, when a stronger than he is comes, when a gospel that's much stronger than this pitiful, false gospel that's preached today, when every one of God's sheep actually hear the God of heaven and what they are and who Christ is, a Savior of sinners, buddy, he'll lead captivity captive. A stronger than he will bind that strong man and take his goods from him. and they won't go back. I believe his colt stay with him from then on. I don't think he's a colt anymore. Cut him. Well, he can't look at it. Verse 34. They said, the Lord hath need of him. And they just repeated what the Lord said. That's all they did. They just said, thus saith the Lord. When Moses went in to Pharaoh, now you know who Pharaoh is? The most powerful man on earth. He's the God of the world. And Moses went into him. And this is what the Lord told him to say. Go in there and say, thus saith the Lord, let my people go. What Pharaoh did, the most powerful man on earth, who humanly speaking could have said, I'm going to kill all of you. Bunch of unarmed slaves. He could have. He didn't. You know what Pharaoh did? Let him go. Let him go. Our Lord's power is established. So they brought him. They brought him to the Lord, to Jesus, to the God-man. And they cast their garments upon the colt. And look at verse 35. And it says they set Jesus thereon. They brought this wild ass's colt. Now, the Lord may have put a yoke on him. You reckon? He may have. Didn't he say, take my yoke upon you and learn of me? My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Didn't he? He may have. Maybe not. May put a hay string on him. Maybe didn't put anything. But he got on it. Now, have you ever seen a wild colt? You ever been around one? I have. One time, I thought my little colt was broken. He's a good little colt. My daughter's little colt. Good little colt. And I'd handled him and petted him and get him treats all his life. Now he's a good little colt. Oh, he ain't a good little colt. He's so pretty. And one day when nobody's around, I thought it's time. And I'd been putting a blanket on him, putting the saddle on him, putting the bit in his mouth, putting all that on him. But nobody'd ever ridden him. Okay. You know what's coming at you. I didn't see it coming. He's a good little horse. No, ain't no such thing. He ain't broke. But I got on his back. Next thing I remember, I'm lying on the ground. On my back. Flat on my back, thinking, I broke my back. Good little horse. No, he's not. He's broken. And I had to send him somebody to break him. He ended up being a good horse. But not till he's broken. And that needs to happen to all of us. And you know what will happen when you break a horse? And before you break it, that's what that head happened. Don't they really kill it? Snort, paw the ground on it, kick. Try to get in there and kick them. Try to clean their hooves or kick at you, hold that head. Those ears, they pin those ears back, don't they? See the white of their eyes and all that. Kelly's ridden some and not ridden others. Okay. But you know what happens when you break it? Those pinned back ears are listening to you. So they brought this wild ass's colt, pinned back ears, neck head held high. They brought him. As soon as he came to the Lord, those ears went forward. He's listening to the Lord. He's looking at him, licking those lips. And all of a sudden, he drops that head. And that back softens. And they put the Lord on him. And you know what happened? He just walked like a 15-year-old deal. Where do you want me to go? This is great. This colt's thinking, I've got the master. What a privilege. What an honor. You know what this colt's purpose in life is? Hold forth his Lord and Master. To lift him up for all to see. This is the one that broke me. This is the one that called me. This is the one that saved me. This is the one that chose me. This is my Lord. This is my Master. I'm not my own. Praise God. I belong. I'm bought with a price. And he went riding into Jerusalem. And you read with me. Everybody is saying with a loud voice, praise God! With a loud voice, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, glory in the highest. You know, that's what they said when Christ was born. That's what the angels came. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Here he comes into to Jerusalem where he's going to, that decease he's going to accomplish. The scripture's accomplished, riding on this unbroken, unridden horse. And they're saying, glory to God in the highest. He's here. He rides the unridden, breaks the unbroken, subdues the unsubdued, saves the sinners, calls his people, and they come. You see your calling, brother? Why didn't the Lord choose a big, noble steed? Why didn't he come into town riding on a great, big, white Andalusian? Instead, he rode an ass. Huh? Why didn't he choose something mighty and noble and glorious? Because there's nobody in that town, not one single person, is looking at that donkey. They're giving all the praise to the one that's riding him. And when we get to heaven, we're not going to say, look, there's Moses. No, no, no. He's going to be standing right beside of us with Abraham and Isaac and Daniel and Joseph and Simon Peter. We're all going to be saying, look at the Lamb who's been slain. The one that broke us all. That chose us all. Glory to God. Great things he hath done. Oh, he's chosen the nobodies and nothing. Asses. To give him all the glory. That's why. Okay, Brother John, let's sing it. Number